You are listening to Phil Hewlett and Friends. I'm Phil Hewlett. I thank you for tuning in. This is the talk show where you get nothing but fun, informative, sometimes unexpected conversation about the stories you care about. You'll hear from the experts, authors, and others, and we hope to put a little smile on your face along the way. On today's show, it's Sleep Awareness Week, and you may not be aware of why you are not getting a good night's sleep. You'll hear from an expert. Plus, if you're trying to recover from relationship hell, our love expert will give you some proven pointers. Let's meet the friends. Aaron Myers is stuck in the Southern California mountains covering a snowstorm. So she has closed her email box for a moment to join us in the studio. It's our producer, Brooke Peterson.
Hey, Phil. In political news, the presumptive Democratic presidential candidate has some splaining to do again.
And he'll dig a hole to the other side of the earth to find stories for you. Chris Martin is here.
Watch out, Hollywood. Another part of the world is starting to beat you at your own game.
Ooh, we hate getting beat.
No, nobody likes to lose.
Unless you're walking out of the 50 Shades of Grey movie. And you say...
You're reading my mind.
And you say, harder, harder! Stop it. All right, well, Brooke...
No, don't stop.
How many times have you seen that movie?
I haven't yet. I actually really haven't.
No?
Do you
but
want
I have
to?
Read all the books.
You have a desire to see it?
You know, I think I will eventually, for sure.
Yeah.
Maybe a rental or at the cheapy theater or
all
something.
Right.
But
okay.
I will see it. I will see it.
Hey, this hour of the program is sponsored by NHL Game Center Live. Sign up, watch hockey live or on demand on your favorite device. Never miss a slap shot check or save from any team you choose. Get extra camera angles and multi-game views and watch every out-of-market game live on your device for less. Plus, when you get started with NHL Game Center Live for as little as $24.99, what? You actually support this show, and we thank you for that. Head over to PhilHewlettAndFriends.com right now. Click on the NHL Game Center Live link. You'll see it. It's right at the top right of the website. Thank you for doing that. All right, we'll get things started with you, Brooke, if you've calmed down a little bit. we're ready. So the presumptive Democratic candidate, who could that be? I don't know.
I'll give you a hint.
Yeah?
It's a she.
Yeah? Okay.
How many of them are there?
We all know who this is.
Yes.
So
well,
what is Hillary doing these days that requires some splaining?
Yeah, she's in hot water again. It has been discovered that through the New York Times somehow that she has been using a personal email account. And this actually is during the time frame when she was Secretary of State. So during all the Benghazi, the crisis then, that she was using a personal email account rather than her government email account, which,
uh-oh,
you know, apparently is not illegal, and she was not the first person to do this, but it just raises questions. It just makes it a little shady, and it makes people just wonder, well, why?
Yeah.
Why would you not use your official government?
Wasn't there, Mitt Romney ran into that same trouble. Was it him that when he was governor of Massachusetts, it came up during the presidential campaign that perhaps he was using personal emails for a period of time, or was it George W. Bush?
Well, I don't think it's
emails?
Been, it's not, I think according to this, the only person, or the first Secretary of State, at least, who has used only his government email is John Kerry.
Mm-hmm.
So is it, up until him, everybody preceding him, this is not so unusual. But
yeah.
But in her defense, she's saying, well, I am emailing people with a government email address. So clearly it's going to be archived and recorded in the system at some point in the juncture. So
yeah, you don't want to split
wonder.
Legal hairs with Hillary Clinton. She's going to win that argument in every case. But just the same, still, you're thinking about the people that are there in Washington, D.C., and it's your aunt, your grandpa, your grandma. These are older people. They should know better because they work in government. But just the same, you know how your grandma is or your uncle. They're still learning how to use a mouse, for goodness sakes. And this whole email thing, clickety-click that and this and send and right-click and save. And they're befuddled by how all of this stuff works.
Well, this
so I'm not surprised.
Clinton. I am.
Oh, smartest lady on the planet. Right?
Are we
pretty
just
much
upset because she's using her personal email address for work purposes?
Well, we're not upset about it. It's a protocol thing that breaches security and that sort of
thing. It seems to me like the one of the main issues is that because you want to have documentation and archival references for government policy and actions and
so
it could be, brought up, Chris, as a potential barb during the political campaign, during the presidential campaign, is this being a lack of judgment. You want this woman who uses her personal email for, in some cases,
top secret communications to be your president, to be your commander in chief. That's the argument that somebody will make when they want to beat her in the presidential race.
And that makes sense. But I do have a question about what about her personal. Can she use her personal email for personal uses if she's emailing her family and things like that? Or is she required to use her work email?
I've received all sorts of pictures of cats and other animals from Hillary in my email box.
And they come from her personal email address, not from her.
Of course.
Okay, government address.
Hey, Phil, check out this kitty.
Look at it, hanging loose.
I think it'd be more upsetting if the email, if the kitty email came from the government address versus the current situation.
Yeah, no, that's true. All right, moving on to another very powerful woman.
Who
loves some butter in a dish and some finger looking good.
Ooh, collard greens, black-eyed peas. I'm a Southern girl.
Yeah? What else?
Well,
who are we talking about?
Paula. Remember her?
Yeah.
Remember Paula?
She had a black eye for a while.
Oh, man. She went down hard. She hit hard. This was about a year and a half ago when she was booted from the Food Network. And just recently, she's being redeemed, at least according to the French publishing house Hachette. Is now taking on a new book coming out later this year entitled Paula Deen Cuts the Fat.
Where's the fun in that?
Well, I actually think it's kind of cool. I mean, there's 200 new recipes, and then she's redoing 50 of her classic, you know, belly-busting recipes to make them healthier. So I have to say I'm intrigued. I just don't know if I can get over, really, the situation.
So it's a cookbook. It's not a tell-all book. It's nothing
Correct.
That's going to reveal anything about Paula Deen's life personally.
This is not a memoir, no.
But people are going to go through the language in every recipe with a fine-tooth comb, looking for any kind of code that might reveal that she has any tendencies toward anything racial.
I would.
Yeah, the comedians will rip it apart, and they'll put some great tweets out there. Keep an eye out for those.
Yeehaw! Can't wait.
All right.
You like to cook like that? You like that down south cooking?
Well, I'm a vegetarian, which makes it kind of hard to be a southern cook.
You know, on the other hand, she might bend over backwards in this book because you mentioned one particular tasty item, and in her book they might be referenced as African American eyed peas.
Right. Uh-huh.
Just get real politically correct
just to,
on everything.
Just to make sure she doesn't offend
just
anybody
take it too far.
Bar all the holes. You got it.
Yeah. All right. And one more story about an interesting woman. And in fact, this lady, I don't think any of us will disagree, is amazing.
She is amazing. I found this story about Jessica Cox today, and I have to say she's my new inspiration, at least for today. She is a woman who was born without arms, and yet somehow over the years she has earned a third degree black belt.
Wow.
Yep, and she has earned a Guinness World Record for becoming the first person to earn a pilot certificate without arms.
Well, that's scary, kind of.
That's exactly why she did it,
Congratulations.
Who's driving
her,
this thing? Yeah. Right? Who's flying this plane?
Jessica is. That's what's so great about it.
Well, in a plane, if I'm not mistaken, you have a yoke, which is like a stick shift kind of thing, but it does something different. It moves the flaps on the tail and so on. I'm talking out of both ends of my my body here because I don't know for sure. And then you have something like a steering wheel, but it not only turns left and right, but it pushes in and out to change the attitude of the plane. You know, you're either climbing or diving or you're going straight. So you've got all these different things. Do they have to completely rebuild the cockpit to accommodate an armless pilot?
It doesn't say anything about that, but it does say it's a sport pilot certificate, which means she can fly light sport aircraft up to 10,000 feet. So perhaps it's arranged slightly differently. But, I mean, I think the point is, you know how you see videos of people, the power of human adaptability. And what you can do, even with you.
It is inspiring.
It's so great.
I'd like to see her kick a little third degree black belt butt, wouldn't you?
That would be awesome to see. I mean, you can only use your legs unless she's using prosthetics, which it doesn't sound like she is.
But that wouldn't be fair.
Without the prosthesis.
But if I'm a third degree black belt, I'm going to knock the prosthetics off. I mean, that's my first goal.
First move.
Right?
Yeah, get rid of her helping advantage. Get her down to just two limbs.
Yeah, right. Yeah, all right. Did you do any karate or kung fu, Chris?
I did. Yeah, I did karate growing up. I made it to yellow belt, and then I bailed out on it.
What is that rank in there?
It's like the second belt that you can get.
Second from the bottom.
It's like white, yellow. Yeah,
brown.
Second from the bottom. No, white, yellow, green, purple, brown, black. And I think that's Taekwondo.
You were just getting started. You didn't get very far.
Yeah, and each belt you have to get three wraps around the belt of black tape before you can graduate to the next one. Mm-hmm. But the interesting thing is there's certain moves that you have to do that involve your arms in order to graduate. She obviously didn't have the ability
to
do
that. So she gets special dispensation along the way, but just the same, I imagine that she probably has to just nail it to justify the dispensation. I'd hate to think that they were just kind of passing her along. I don't
get that sense at all. Just her spirit and her attitude is absolutely, it is stellar. And there's a documentary in production about her life right now. She's writing a book that's supposed to be coming out called Disarm Your Limits.
Chris, she's writing a book without any arms. So there's another
thing. You should see her make a peanut butter and jelly sandwich.
Are you kidding me?
Oh, it's unbelievable.
All right, up next, the Chinese are beating us yet again at yet another game. Which one is it? Chris reveals it here on Phil Hewlett and Friends.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot. Available now at Walgreens.
I want to tell you about a spectacular dining experience. It's Portsacall Waterfront Dining, award-winning service and cuisine with a view of the dynamic L.A. Harbor from every seat. Enjoy daily sunset specials, as well as the South Bay's best bottomless champagne brunch. The outdoor harborside patio is a perfect setting for happy hour every weekday from 3 to 8. Portsacall Waterfront Dining. For reservations and directions, visit portsacalldining.com or call 310-833-3553. All right, we're back. It's Phil Hewlett and Friends. Sure would love it if you advertised on this program. Not only would it help this program, but it would help your business grow by speaking to like-minded people, folks like you who listen to this program, who no doubt you'd like for them to know about your product or service. Simply go to the Advertise With Us tab at philhewlettandfriends.com. Click on that. There's a quick and easy way for you to advertise on this program, believe it or not, for as little as $5. You got that much money in your shoe right now, you strange person carrying money in your shoe. But just the same, there is a form to fill out as well if you'd like to figure out something a little long-term, along the lines of sponsoring the program. You know, this hour's brought to you by, insert the name of your product. How proud would you be? You'd have all your friends and family listen to the program and say, hey, check this out. Phil's about to say, oh, go, hey, there he is. Say, listen. Oh, did you hear it? No, you dummy, you were talking over the whole thing. All right, so go to the page and advertise with us. Thanks. By the way, Chris Martin is here and in for Aaron Myers, who's been covering the snow for the local TV station, KTLA 5 in Los Angeles, up in the San Bernardino Mountains. They just got covered up there, which is great news for the skiers and snowboarders.
Yes, sir.
And for the business people up there that handle all of that stuff. So she's been stuck there for a couple of days, and in her seat today is our producer, Brooke Peterson.
Hello.
Doing a great job. Always happy to see you here in the studio. All right, so Chris, we're talking about the Chinese now, and they keep figuring out ways to best America in various categories of business, places where we have dominated for so long, and all of a sudden, China rules. In what category?
Now they're ruling in movies.
Really?
Yeah, Hollywood movies, too. We're talking about blockbuster movies. China has now beaten the U.S. for the first time in monthly box office revenue. They did this last month in February. They brought in, China, that is, $650 million in their country's box office, while we brought in $640 million. So it's not like they ran away with it. It's still a close race.
But I bet it's cheaper to get into a movie in China than it is to get into a movie here. Is that correct?
I would imagine it's cheaper. But then again, they have more population to bring into more theaters. I also don't know how many theaters they have over there, but
three?
They must have a lot of them to be able to make $650 million in a month.
I bet they do. They've got a billion people over there. They've got to have maybe as many as theaters as we have Starbucks.
Yeah, you would think. You'd think they'd be on most corners over there. And here, check this out. This is what made them so popular last month. Two movies. One was The Man from Macau with Chow Yun-fat. We're all pretty familiar with Chow Yun-fat.
Chow Yun-fat. He's huge.
Yeah. And then Dragon Blade with Jackie Chan. Who can forget him? But he's co-starring with John Cusack and Adrian Brody in this film.
John Cusack?
Oh. Yeah.
Traitor.
Love that guy.
Yeah. Brought in $95 million, that film, over in China.
Yeah.
And I think it's available over here. It's just not as popular.
Well, as popularity goes, you know what is popular? The Walking Dead franchise. Do you watch The Walking Dead?
I don't, but I know it's popular. I hear about it a lot. I've seen enough zombies now.
Have you? You're done with the zombies?
Yeah, it's enough.
I prefer vampires.
One of the towns... Ooh, really? One of the towns featured in The Walking Dead is for sale on eBay. It's Grantville, Georgia. And it was the setting of a Season 3 episode called Clear, where Rick, Carl, and is it pronounced Michonne?
Sure.
Why not?
I could tell you're big Walking Dead fans. They meet up again with Morgan, who had lost his son and gone crazy. In the real life, it's pretty much a ghost town, and the only real industry there is Walking Dead tours. Several other movies are reportedly renting out the city, although the only one that's listed is another upcoming sequel of The Ring.
Oh, I'd watch that.
Yeah. Anyway, you can own the city of Grantville, Georgia, for a whopping $680,000.
A bargain. Mm.
You can own a city. Now, can you turn around a profit with the tours, the Walking Dead tours, and renting it out to other movie productions, or do you have to put up a lemonade stand somewhere and charge property tax and that
if
sort of thing?
If there were Girl Scout cookies there, too.
Yeah.
That's part of how you'd turn a profit. You'd definitely have to put up some concession stands.
$680,000 gets you a significant portion of the downtown, including 9 buildings of residential and commercial space totaling about 34,000 square feet. So if you can rent that out, then you're in business, aren't you?
There's an opportunity there.
Long term. Doesn't that make sense? I wonder what an office space rents for in Georgia. I wonder how far Grantville is from Atlanta, from that metro.
Look this up.
Yeah, look it up.
By the way, apparently that name is McConney.
McConney.
No, just kidding.
Yeah, all right. Oh, here it is. Grantville is 40 miles southwest of Atlanta. That's not bad.
Oh, yeah.
That's like a commute here in Southern California where we are.
Not at all.
And according to the 2010 census, the population is 3,041. So put those people to work and tax them into into their deathbed, and you can make your $680,000 back in 6 months.
Sounds like the infrastructure is already there with the space. Ooh. And the studio space
infrastructure.
And all that.
Yeah.
And I think there are like 150 zombies still living there.
Sweet.
Yeah, they haven't been killed yet, so yeah. They're still in town.
You know what? Don't say infrastructure around a bureaucrat. You know, they'll get all hot and heavy, and you won't be able to pull them off your leg. So you be careful with that. Now, Chris, back to you for a second, because it's interesting. We're talking about the kind of money you could make. Dead or alive, and some of these zombies are working in Hollywood, so they're grateful. They're dead, and they're grateful. The Grateful Dead.
Wow, there is wordplay at its finest.
How about that?
Well
that
done,
was,
sir.
That was beautiful.
There's a concert, and a pretty much every Grateful Dead fan that's still alive and still has a buck or two in his or her bank account wants to get into this concert.
They all do.
Is it too late?
They had a huge following. Obviously, still do. It's not too late, but you better take out a loan. The Grateful Dead are putting on concerts this summer over in Soldier Field in Chicago, which is a pretty big stadium. They're 3-night concerts, and the field holds 210,000 people. So 210,000 people, 3 nights in a row, that's 630,000 people. Wow. They're all sold out.
Really?
They sold out immediately. So now if you want in, you got to go through eBay or wherever these guys...
A ticket exchange.
Talk
to a
scalper at the front.
Scalper.
And they're saying that it would cost you $1,500 for a one-night obstructed view.
Obstructed view? What's that mean? You stand behind a flagpole or...
Or behind the guy with the Abraham Lincoln hat? I don't know.
Yeah. Or a camera?
Those tickets were originally priced at $60 to $200, now $1,500. And a 3-day pass in the infield is going for $160,000.
And Jerry's not even there.
Jerry's dead.
He's the only, I believe he's the only original member.
Why wouldn't they hologram Jerry onto the stage?
They've done
this with a lot of people already.
Ooh, that's
right?
Idea.
They've done it with Elvis. They've done it with Donovan, if I'm not mistaken.
Tupac.
Tupac was, exactly right.
Now you're thinking.
Maybe that's
Donovan's alive, but they did it because he was testing the technology. This was like 5 years before they did the one with Elvis. If you want to look into the holographic concert performance history books and answer some trivia, who was the first guy? It was Donovan.
Donovan. We're talking about Donovan from the Beatles days, right?
Yeah.
Donovan.
That dude.
Yeah.
The one, he was friends with John Lennon and Harry Nilsson and all those guys, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Super talent.
And who knows what they did during that lost summer?
Yeah. I don't know.
You have any idea what I'm talking about?
Summer. No, I just know the name Donovan. By the way, Trey Anastasio from Phish will fill in the spot for Jerry as the front man. And the tickets that were wanted, even though they sold out, millions and millions of people wanted these tickets. It was ridiculous.
Do the people who are fans of the Grateful Dead or fans of Phish, either way you want to look at it, are they non-exclusive? I mean, do they universally like one or the other or both bands?
I think, and you'd really have to talk to Mike about this, but I think they're both considered jam bands.
Mike Stark, our executive producer.
Mike Stark
is our executive producer, and he is a huge, longtime Grateful Dead fan. And thumbs up, Phish. Thumbs down. Thumbs up or down?
What?
Wavering.
I saw Phil Lesh and Friends in New York. I think you might be impressed.
Ooh, look.
Thank you. It's a lot of fun. And I like fish.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fried or filet?
Kind.
Sauteed. Blackened.
Yeah.
The Cajun.
Oh, look at you. You're making me hungry. Hey, I bet you didn't know that this week is National Sleep Awareness Week. Getting a good night's sleep is a tricky thing in our society. We run a fast-paced life, drink a lot of coffee, do other things that impact our sleep patterns negatively, don't we? You know it's true. Well, the truth is a large percentage of us are suffering from sleep disorders, and we don't even know it. Up next, the sleep apnea girl pays a visit to this here program, and you'll hear her advice and her lessons next on Phil Hewlett and Friends. Hey, wake up. It's Phil Hewlett and Friends. I'm Phil. Aaron's off today. We have Brooke and Chris in the studio. And this week, the nation is paying more attention to the challenge we all have, that is the challenge of getting a good night's sleep. It's Sleep Awareness Week, National Sleep Awareness Week, so we're doing our part to help you understand what it means to get a good night's sleep and how maybe, or let's be honest, likely you are suffering from some type of sleep disorder. Annette Barnett runs a sleep clinic in Long Beach, California. Find her online at thesleepapneagirl.com. In fact, she is the sleep apnea girl, and she joins us now, wide awake and raring to go. Annette, how are you? Awake? Sleepy?
Phil, I'm wide awake. I thank you so much for having me.
Oh, we're so pleased that you're here. And you want to help people, obviously, but it's true. A lot of people are suffering from something that needs treatment, and they don't even know it, right?
I would say the majority of people that are walking around just feel that they're tired generally because they're not sleeping enough.
Yeah. All right. So run through the list of things, bad things that are happening to our bodies and our brains when we don't get a good night's sleep.
Well, the bad things that are happening to our bodies when we don't get a good night's sleep are, number one, you know, we can go into some serious depression because... Uh-oh. When you don't have the energy to think properly and function, you're not real happy about life. You can also develop hypertension.
Mm-hmm.
You can develop heart disease.
Ooh.
There's many other things that go on in our bodies.
What about psychoses? Can you become psychotic and just start flipping out at work?
That's a possibility, but I haven't read any studies about that.
Okay, good, because I worry about that. Sometimes I don't sleep enough, and I just don't want to go off on my
You get snappy. It's tough, because when you're tired and you just, you know, you don't want to argue, you don't want to hear it, and you can go off the handle.
Right, yeah, okay. Was it BC? I think we've all done that at one time or another, and then you try to, you apologize later and say, look, I didn't get a good night's sleep last night. It's like the parents with the kid. He hasn't had his nap. Anyway. It's one of the serious sleep disorders is something called sleep apnea, and I don't think we're all clear on exactly what that is. Is that something you're in the middle of a conversation and you just you snooze out and people say, hey, wake up, I'm talking to you?
Yeah. There's quite a few different sleep disorders, and sleep apnea being the most common. that is diagnosed when you have a sleep study. You know, when we have normal breathing, our airway is opened, and our airway flows freely while we're sleeping as well as when we're walking around. Well, people with sleep apnea, their airway collapses. So the air is blocked, the airflow to the lungs, and, you know, this causes all kinds of problems in our body.
When you say airway collapses, is this like at the back of the mouth, you know, the beginning of the airway there, like your, what's that little waddle thing that hangs down
uvula,
in the back of your, your uvula,
you know,
right?
But there's many things, Phil, that can collapse, and even some people have the problem with their tongue kind of relaxing and getting in the way. There's all kinds of different, you could have deviated septum issues.
Oh, does it, if, do you have to be overweight, or can this happen to anybody?
This can happen to be, this can happen to anyone. You can be thin and have sleep apnea.
Okay.
There are those six factors that the health society looks at that can contribute to having sleep apnea. And one of the biggest one is excess weight, having too much weight.
So how do you test for this? Do you ask the person who you spend the evening with in your bed whether you snore? I mean, is snoring enough to qualify you as a sleep apnea patient, or is there some larger test that you have to do?
Well, snoring is one of the big four. It is. You know, Stanford came up with a screener called STOP, and S stands for snoring, T stands for being tired during the day, O stands for observed apnea, meaning what you said to me, your bed partner would notice that you actually look like you stopped breathing, or you're gasping, choking. And P standing for high blood pressure or elevated blood pressure.
Oh, good, because we hate when we're in bed and you have to pee. All right, but so how do you?
That's one of them, Phil. Too. They ask you, do you have to get up and use the restroom
really
more than once?
Wow. Okay. So that could be a whole connected to a whole bunch of other medical issues as well. So how do you zero in on the sleep apnea? Do you have to go into a clinic and hook up a bunch of wires?
Well, you don't have to. There you can come into my sleep lab or any sleep lab, there's lots of them, and spend the night and be hooked up for a 20-channel sleep study, which is called a polysomnography, or you can actually do it in your own home by doing portable home sleep testing.
Yeah, all right.
So, you know, there's lots of options
for
people.
Well, that's good. That's good. So ultimately, can you treat it? And does it involve like a whole lifestyle change, or is that what you recommend, is that you pay more attention to what you're eating and your exercise and that sort of thing?
Well, you know, they say that the three big ones are, you know, diet, you know, of course,
right,
and sleep, you know, go hand in hand with each other, and, you know, how we eat, you know, what we eat. So they say that those are, you know, the things that we should pay attention to.
Okay, very good. So you get tested at home or in a clinic, and then you get treated. And if you don't want to do it at home, and maybe you say, look, I don't want anybody coming in, my house is a mess, I don't know, let's go into a clinic. It seems to me like it would be hard to sleep in some kind of, like, sterile place. Everything's white. We got people in lab coats walking around, and it just looks like a hospital kind of thing. Is that what a sleep clinic looks like?
Well, maybe 20 years ago, they, you know, you did maybe spend the night behind a curtain in a hospital gurney, but now, including my sleep center, I have really strived to make it a bed and breakfast type atmosphere.
Oh.
You know, we try to keep it spick and span. I mean, that's a priority. You know, sleep hygiene, part of sleep hygiene is having it very clean and dust-free.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's exciting. In fact, if people like to see an example of what you're talking about, we have a link to your clinic, the Sleep Apnea Girl, Inc. There are two links. You could either find Annette Barnett's name or the Sleep Apnea Girl on our links page at philhewlettandfriends.com. You can go check it out and get yourself tested. And Chris here has a question for you, because he was Googling the whole sleep apnea thing, and he saw there's a video that went viral with people doing funny counts and breathings and that sort of thing. And Chris, what is this called again?
Well, there's a new thing going around. It's pretty viral on social networking. It's called the 478 technique. And basically what it says that you do is right before you're going to sleep, you breathe out for a full four count, which would be like 4, 1,000, 2, 1,000 to 4. Then you breathe in for a seven count, and then you attempt to breathe out for an eight count. And before you hit that eight 1,000, you're going to shut down. Your body's going to go to sleep. Now, it takes some practice to get it right and to get your body attuned to it, but do you give any credence to like developing a breathing technique that can help you sleep and maybe even sleep deeper?
You know, I give credence to anything that's going to make people have healthier sleep. Obviously, part of that is they're going to the old tale of counting sheep or getting yourself bored or focused on your breathing rather than all the anxiety from the day.
Yeah.
So, yes, that makes sense to me. I hadn't heard of that particular technique, but I've heard of different breathing techniques that have actually been promoted in helping sleep.
I send my brain to a nicer place. I just go surfing. I'm laying in bed trying to go to sleep. I just focus. I'm out in the perfect day on my surfboard catching a wave, and that puts me in a nice, relaxed state.
Find your happy, relaxed place. Hey, I have one other question for you, Annette.
Yes.
Is a CPAP machine like a last resort solution for you? Because, you know, I've slept in a room with people that have had them before. They're loud and annoying, but I know that they get a great night's sleep. Do you recommend them?
I recommend a CPAP machine because that's the gold standard of therapy.
They make nicer ones these days, don't they? They're quieter and they're more efficient.
They're you know, technology has changed so many things about sleep, and one of them is the PAP therapy, is what it's called, and the machines are very, very small now. They're even portable, and basically what they do is they force air, so when we have our lungs collapse and something is blocking our airway, it opens our airway.
Yeah. Hmm.
So a lot of people feel so much better once they get treated for sleep apnea. They've been walking around without it. You know, but I don't just say that's the only treatment because, you know, obviously I've had people lose a lot of weight and bingo, their sleep apnea goes away.
Wow. That's a medical term, right? Bingo?
That's my term.
Okay, good.
Yeah, but no, you know, the weight is what's caused the problem.
Yeah. And it makes sense. It certainly does. But you could be a class A athlete and still have this, and that's the point. You need to get checked out if you're not getting a good night's rest. And that's about all the time we have for now. It's not nap time, but we do have to move along. Annette Barnett, the sleep apnea girl. Check out her website, thesleepapneagirl.com, and learn more about this. And if you've got some issues and if you're in the greater Long Beach, California area, go say hello to Annette and tell her that we said to say so. Annette Barnett, thank you very much.
Thanks, Phil.
All right.
Appreciate your time. Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. So we got through Valentine's Day, but it is, of course, still springtime. Love is in the air. But sometimes that air stinks. A relationship hell is our next topic, and our expert will help you get through it with some simple steps. Worth a listen. Next, here on Phil Hewlett and Friends.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot, available now at Walgreens.
Here's a great idea for your next outing, a cruise of the L.A. Harbor on a Spirit Cruises yacht. Whether you have a large party, a company outing, wedding reception, a reunion, or you need the perfect setting for a romantic evening, Spirit Cruises offers everything you need to relax and enjoy your time on the water. For a limited time, enjoy Sunday brunch at Portsacall Waterfront Dining right next door, and the first Spirit Cruises Harbor Cruise of the day is free. For more information, call 310-548-8080 or visit spiritmarine.com. Yes, thank you. You are listening to Phil Hewlett and Friends. I'm Phil. We have Brooke and Chris in the studio today. And we've all had relationship issues. I think I'm an anomaly in this day and age. Married for 30 plus years. And happily, of course, we had our rough spots, but we worked our way through it. Other people, they have rough spots, and then it's just so devastating that they can't get back into circulation again. And that seems like it happens a lot for a lot of people. And the longer you're at the game, the more you get, I don't know, do you start thinking, what's the matter with me? And you start looking inside and thinking, or maybe you don't. Maybe you just keep blaming it on the pool of available people out there. It's one of those weird things, dating. And joining us live is somebody who knows a thing or two about winning and losing at the game of love and ultimately winning. It's Tani Carr. She's the author of the book, 10 Weeks to Love, How I Went from Divorced and Miserable to Happily Married Without Losing Weight, Having Plastic Surgery, or Being Completely Sane. I don't know how they get all of those words on the cover of a book, but they've done it. And the book is available in the store at philhewlettandfriends.com. And we love talking with you, Tani. Thank you very much for coming back.
A pleasure. A real pleasure, Phil. I want to make a comment here, though, because when you mentioned that you've had a very long and happy marriage, I have met more radio hosts in doing all these radio shows that have happy marriages, and we all, after the show, we always talk about the fact that they've got great relationships. We just don't see those so much in the press.
My goodness. That's awesome. I thought the radio guys were all the ones who were getting divorced 3-4 times and then talking about it on the radio.
Well, not the ones that I'm talking with. So it's been a real pleasure it's a good statistic.
We'd that's like good.
More of that.
All right, we're in the Tani Club, and
there you go.
I think everyone has a different definition of relationship hell. What we have in common is, though, in our definition of this, is it ain't no fun.
That's right.
What's your definition?
My definition is that you, somewhere along the way, you lose yourself, you lose your personal integrity, you don't know who you are anymore in terms of your goals and your purposes, and maybe you've compromised so many times trying to be what you believe the other person needs you to be to fulfill that relationship. And that's the worst. When you've lost yourself, and unfortunately, sometimes we don't even know that we've lost ourselves, because it's kind of a war of attrition. These things happen in little dribbles and bits until a point, months or years later, that you see, who am I? I don't even know who I am anymore.
And do you think you're going to discover yourself in somebody else in the context of a relationship?
No. Doesn't happen. It's kind of like you're a moving target. If you keep changing in order to fulfill that relationship, the other person doesn't know who you are, and again, you've lost who you are, and you need that as a basis to have a decent relationship.
Now, you have a whole bunch of steps. We're going to try to run through all of them here, or as many of them as we possibly can, but the most important steps to get through this all, get over it, and on to a healthy love life.
Yep. Well, the first thing, as far as I'm concerned, is that you got to own your failures. You can't have it both ways. You can't say, oh, I'm responsible for all the good stuff in my life and blame others for the bad. And I actually got to a point where I embraced failure in my last marriage as an opportunity to learn something about myself that obviously I hadn't learned before, to make me a better person and then more accepting to manifest a good relationship. Second thing is to really regain control of your life. You got to recognize patterns of behavior, games that are kind of running on automatic pilot. Inspect those and see, is this game that I was playing? First is awareness. You have to be aware that you're doing something before you can do something about it. But the second thing is to say, is this game worth playing, you know, currently in my present life, or can I abandon that? Third thing, you've got to evaluate where you get the ideas about love and relationships. There's two parts to that. One is you look at external friends, newspapers, tabloids. How much of your current thinking has to do with what even well-meaning friends may have said to you? Oh, don't trust men that are taller than 6 foot. I mean, you know, I know that sounds ridiculous, but we do take on, we do tend to own ideas and viewpoints without realizing where they came from. The second thing is that we've got to look at the fact that experience, and I use that word in quotes, maybe taught us to develop certain ideas and notions. A wealthy guy, successful, says women are only after me for my money. Well, that's going to stop the person from seeing somebody that may be right in front of them that isn't interested in their money, but they're not going to see it because they've already formed the idea.
Yeah.
So we have that. It's about learning to turn desperation into determination. You know, desperation is a real relationship killer. When you're desperate, You push people away because people don't like to be with people who are desperate.
Sure.
Also, if you're worried about being, you're so desperate that you're worried about being rejected, trust me, you will manifest people rejecting you because, it's kind of what's happening in your universe, in your space.
What's it say about me if the person I'm dating is desperate? You know, it either means that I take advantage of desperate people, or it means that I'm at the bottom of the pail as well.
Well, exactly, and also you don't want somebody you don't want to be in a relationship with somebody that likes you because you're desperate. Ew. Because then you get into a weird situation where you don't have two strong individuals creating a really great relationship. You have one being dominant and one being more submissive. And
Brooke's getting creeped out by that guy right now, just thinking about him.
The whole idea is just...
Yeah, I know. I'm scrunching up my face when I think about
yeah,
it.
Yeah, all right.
Learning to love yourself again, you got to do it. Even with your imperfections, you got to regain your personal integrity. And you have to get rid of emotional baggage. I show people how to do that.
Oh, that's not easy, is it?
It's not easy, but it's easier than you might think. The first key thing that I discovered on that one particular point from my last rather horrific marriage and divorce was that I had to break it down. It's no good to try to solve a problem that's a generalization. If you say, oh, my life sucks, my life is awful, I feel so sad. Well, unless you can identify, so what exactly do I feel sad about? Well, let's tackle that. And you break it down into chunks, bite-sized chunks that you can actually deal with. Then you can write a vision statement or mentally or write it down. But you got to get rid of the filters.
Well, the blanket question, I guess, for all of this is how do you make sure you don't keep making the same mistakes?
You got to look at the mistakes and really break them down and identify them. And I put exercises in my books. You know, I have corporate training background, so I took that experience, and at the end of each chapter, this is what I did. That's my story. Then at the end of each chapter is here are some exercises to help you break it down. Because you're right, it becomes quite problematic. But I did it, and I didn't have help. I just went in and hunkered down, and in 10 weeks, turned myself around.
Yeah, and now look at you.
Now look at me, and did I wear makeup today, if you're looking at me, but anyway.
Oh, good.
You know, this last Saturday, my husband and I celebrated our 28th wedding anniversary. He is 16 years my junior. He still thinks I'm eye candy. I still think I'm the luckiest person in the world, and we met after that 10-week experience of reinventing myself.
How about that? I'm going to give you two numbers, the numbers 10 and 2. Work them into this website address, 10weekstolove.com, and there you will find out all about Tani Carr's book and her work. And if you can't remember that, we have it linked on our links page at philhewlettandfriends.com. Always a pleasure to speak with you, and continued good luck in your happy marriage.
Thank you so much, Phil. Same to you and yours, and same to the rest of you guys in your relationship.
Thank you. Thanks. Talk to you again soon. All right, so that's it for hour one of the show. Do you still feel like a loser?
I like the fact that you don't have to be completely sane to gain something from her book.
Yeah.
Because I think we all fall into that category.
We're
me
all
too.
Crazy.
But I hate to think that people listen to this program because they're desperate.
No.
What are we going to do with them?
Just love them, Phil. Just love them.
And give them more.
And their baggage.
There's more to come for you listening right now, including what did the guy who painted the official Bill Clinton presidential portrait hide in that painting?
Whoa.
Ooh, we know now, and we'll tell you. And the fabric that makes you invisible to paparazzi. Ooh, listen up, you movie stars. Those stories and more in the second hour of Phil Hewlett and Friends. Next!
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot. Available now at Walgreens.
I want to tell you about a spectacular dining experience. It's Portsacall Waterfront Dining, award-winning service and cuisine with a view of the dynamic L.A. Harbor from every seat. Enjoy daily sunset specials, as well as the South Bay's best bottomless champagne brunch. The outdoor harborside patio is a perfect setting for happy hour every weekday from 3 to 8. Portsacall Waterfront Dining. For reservations and directions, visit portsacalldining.com or call 310-833-3553. You are listening to Phil Hewlett and Friends. This is hour two of the talk show where you get nothing but fun, informative, sometimes unexpected conversation about the stories you care about. You'll hear from the experts, authors, and others. And we hope to put a little smile on your face along the way. This hour,
like you need a reminder. A new wearable device reminds you when you need to do this. Plus, our travel guy tips you in on huge savings with a small window of opportunity on cruise lines. Don't miss your shot. The friends are here. Brooke Peterson is in for Aaron Myers. And Chris Martin is here. I'm Phil Hewlett. Thanks for listening. All right, we get this hour started with you, Brooke. Possibly the funniest video of the week, and it's gone viral out there, and it'll teach a guy for being a jerk. Tell us about this.
This is amazing. All right, there's this this guy. This guy is trying to break into a car. The car happens to be a Mercedes E-Class coupe.
Mm-hmm.
He starts throwing some rocks at the window, and they're not working. They're bouncing right off. So eventually he picks up a brick.
Yeah.
He walks right up to the side of the car, the passenger side, hurls this brick point-blank range at this window, and it bounces back off of the glass, hits him in the face, and knocks him out.
Yes!
Yep. I mean, that's karma for you.
Yeah, exactly.
Score one for the good guys.
It's amazing. And I have to say, you know, this is like, Mercedes couldn't ask for better publicity than something like this.
It's incredible. It's awesome.
And the video is fantastic. And it's a security cam video of this guy. You see it all. You see it bounce right off the window, hitting him in the face.
Let's see if our web munchkins have been doing their job. And the show fun page has, yes, there it is, the video. And you can watch it in all of its glory.
I've seen the video. It is remarkable because you don't see any damage. You know, I'm really not a big fan of seeing people actually get hurt or blood being drawn from them. But this guy, it's almost like a cartoon. He throws it bounces right back at him and knocks him out.
Love it.
Yeah, it's almost ludicrous, but it works. It's true.
And so nothing was stolen, and he got arrested, and it's a good, it's a happy ending, right?
Happy ending.
All right, good. Now, somebody who survived Ebola, that's a happy thing, is not very happy. What's going on with this Ebola survivor?
Yeah, so if we recall, back in October, Nina Pham was the first person in America to contract Ebola because they took care of a person who had just flown in from West Africa, and they were contaminated.
Yeah.
So she's sick. Everybody's obviously very concerned and, you know, waiting with bated breath what's going to happen to her. And apparently it was October 14th. The hospital releases a statement saying that Nina Pham is in good condition. Well, now that a few months have passed and Nina has made a full recovery, she's coming forward and suing the hospital because she was not in good condition. In fact, her pulmonologist that day said that her condition was actually life-threatening still. And
wow.
So, yeah.
Really?
So it was a false statement. And that, I think, it concerns people in lots of different ways and reasons. Can we trust what this is a social health issue that they were trying to say wasn't an issue when, in fact, it was? And who knows what could have happened if they hadn't really taken measures to prevent it from spreading?
Yeah. If she leaves the hospital, they say that she's okay and she's still viral.
Yeah. And she actually even says in this statement that she had to wear the scrubs that she wore that first day home. I don't know why she had to. I don't know why she couldn't have a change of clothing. But she's saying that she wore those same scrubs that she wore at work home after she was released, which just also seems kind of crazy.
Yeah, that is bizarre.
Are we saying that her suing the hospital is warranted?
Yeah.
In this case?
I think it is.
Absolutely.
Okay. What's the hospital again? Where is it?
It's in Texas. Yeah. It's Presbyterian. Hang on one second. Texas Health Presbyterian. And she's also saying that she's feeling used and lied to.
Yeah. Well, that's a societal thing, too. I mean, the whole society's been used and lied to.
Sort of threatened.
Yes.
I think.
I mean, if you don't want Ebola to spread, then you take care of it where you're supposed to take care of it, and that's in the hospital.
Absolutely.
Do you think there's any part of them that was trying to minimize the fear of, you know, that comes from?
Oh, perhaps they were trying to minimize the cost of the treatment.
And there's that too. I don't doubt that that's on there. But
I think
also
more about
so people don't
image.
Freak out, run around like ants, and go, we're all gonna.
Yeah.
Then maybe there's a little.
Maybe
bit of that
there was
there,
some of that, but I feel it was more of a selfish kind of like take care. Let's
it sounds
stop
like
this.
It.
Yeah.
I'd like to run around like an ant, frankly. If I could carry 100 times my weight on my back.
Mm-hmm. In your mandibles.
Yes, right. Where are my mandibles, Chris? If I were able to do that, that'd be awesome. Wouldn't you want to be an ant for a day? Just
You'd
long
be
enough
a
to
superhero.
Survive and not get squashed under somebody's foot. If you could survive a day and be an ant and do all the things that an ant can do.
Absolutely.
Wouldn't it be fun just to be an ant for a day?
Rocking. Heck yeah.
That's why Marvel's coming out with a new superhero movie based around a guy that's an ant.
Oh. Paul Rudd. Is that right?
I think so, yeah.
Paul Rudd plays an ant?
Interesting choice there.
Yeah. Is Paul Rudd on the latest Forbes billionaire list?
Paul Rudd is not on the list, but I'll tell you who is.
Oh.
Forbes has released its 29th annual billionaires list, and of course, Bill Gates is the richest person in the world for the 16th time in 21 years.
And he can't give his money away fast enough to get off the list.
That's crazy. It really is the crazy part about it. He's worth almost $80 billion, even though he gives away billions a year, donates it.
Right.
So there's some new names on the list. Here's a few of them. Travis Kalanick, who's the guy who founded Uber. Those guys are moving up the list.
Is he
quickly.
Uber rich?
He is uber rich. Evan Spiegel and Bobby Murphy, those are the guys who founded Snapchat.
That's just ridiculous.
Just valued
it?
At, I think, $19 billion, that company was.
I have an idea for an app. I'm going to get Jeremy, our tech guy, to make the app.
Do it.
We're going to become rich.
Good. Yeah.
Uber rich.
For?
I don't know. I forgot what the idea was.
How about Marcus Persson? He's the guy that created Minecraft. I don't know if we
Minecraft?
Have any Minecraft junkies in here.
Wow.
But I have a couple of cousins that love that game.
I'm pretty sure
addicted to it.
People who are addicted to Minecraft are not listening to this program because they don't have time.
They're playing Minecraft.
Reed Hastings, who founded Netflix, and the first ever pro athlete has cracked the Forbes list.
Who's
and
that?
It is Michael Jordan.
No kidding.
Yeah, exactly who you would expect, right?
Well, I don't know. It
was going to be Tiger Woods if it weren't for his
A lot of athletes make the lion's share of their money when they're actively participating in their sport. And then after the fact, it's rare. Magic Johnson is one of those rare examples where he becomes a business mogul and just makes astronomical amounts of money. In fact, I'm surprised he's not on the billionaires list. But a guy like Michael Jordan, what's he into? I mean, he owns a piece of a basketball team, isn't
he
that
does,
right?
The Charlotte Hornets. So he's got quite an interest in the Charlotte Hornets, 80% stake, actually.
But
and
is that a money-winning proposition?
Good?
Well, I doubt they're losing money at it. The Charlotte Hornets aren't the greatest team in the league.
But a billionaire. Where is he making his money? In underwear commercials?
Nope. Nike? You ready? There you go. Nailed it.
But still, a billion?
Don't forget, the Air Jordans are still, to date, the most popular shoe ever sold. And he has a contract with Nike that pays him almost $100 million a year just to be able to continue to license his name and put
so
out the
shoe. So bigger than the Air Serge Ibaka?
Yeah. Just slightly bigger than the Air Serge Ibaka's.
Yeah.
I wanted to share
like $2,000, right?
Yeah, I wanted to share this last stat with you too. So at the end, we find out that there are 1,826 billionaires in the world, which are worth a total of $7.05 trillion. I did the math for you guys, divided that into the amount of people on the planet, because we often think that if the rich people would just share their money, we'd all be fine. If the top 1800 all gave away their money, everybody would get $987 a piece and they would be dead broke.
Wow.
So take that for what it's worth. And I don't even know what it's worth other
population
than to say
control.
It wouldn't work. You can't take the pie and split it up amongst everybody and think that everything's going to be okay.
Yeah. My
well, thank
goodness.
You for putting my mind at ease, Chris.
There you go.
Thanks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right, Chris. Let's see. One more out of you, if you will. There's just a strange anomaly out there with a couple of twin sisters. And they look like twin sisters to a degree. Isn't that right?
Not really.
Oh.
I don't think they look like twin sisters at all. Maybe slightly, you know, if you looked at their eyes just the right way or if you were their parents. But there is a set of twins from the United Kingdom, and they are turning heads. Why? Because one of them is lily white with this straight strawberry red hair, and the other is black with curly black hair. So complete contrast. Their names are Lucy and Maria, and their mother is part Jamaican and father is Caucasian. They are both now in their like late teens, early 20s. Beautiful girls. And
what's the science behind
that? Story is catching fire. It has something to do with genetics. I mean, all that stuff is possible in the genetic soup that is the embryo and the man's contribution.
Yeah, right.
X's and Y's, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, chromosomes flying around.
And you got to cross your T's and dot your I's with all that stuff, too, when you're doing it. But just the same, that is something else, isn't it? I mean, those they're two girls?
Two girls. Yeah, and if you get a chance, just jump on the Google machine, check them out. Like I said, both beautiful girls are getting a lot of coverage right now, and it's an interesting story and an interesting picture.
Yeah, all right. We'll take a look at that. All right, up next, more. There's a chance, and we're still working on this, there's a chance that we're going to get a live report from a spring training camp in I believe, in Tempe, Arizona. We're working on it. It's one of these things in motion. And we're going to take a break, and then you guys can go ahead and play quarters or roll the dice or whatever and decide, it's a drinking game perhaps, whether we'll be able to pull this off. Because it's not confirmed yet, okay? But you'll find out if we pull it off in a matter of moments when we return here on Phil Hewlett and Friends.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot, available now at Walgreens.
I want to tell you about a spectacular dining experience. It's Ports of Call Waterfront Dining, award-winning service and cuisine with a view of the dynamic L.A. Harbor from every seat. Enjoy daily sunset specials, as well as the South Bay's best bottomless champagne brunch. The outdoor harborside patio is a perfect setting for happy hour every weekday from 3 to 8. Ports of Call Waterfront Dining. For reservations and directions, visit portsofcalldining.com or call 310-833-3553. You're listening to Phil Hewlett and Friends. I'm Phil Hewlett. Thank you for tuning in. Aaron Myers has the day off. Brooke Peterson, our producer, is sitting in and doing a great job of that.
Thanks.
Need I mention? I don't really need to mention it.
You could.
It's reinforcement, though. Positive strokes.
I'll take it.
Goes a long way, doesn't it? And Chris Martin, who always does a stellar job, is here as well. And the answer to your burning question in your drinking game, and you can go ahead and pour and then chug, is no. We did not make our connection.
Wah, wah.
Yes. However, it still may happen before we're done here. But we do have other business to take care of, including our travel guy, Gary Warner, is going to be on with us in a little bit on the second half hour of this here hour. In the meantime, we do have other things to cover on the program. In fact, I've got something here that I wanted to run past you. Are you a fan of Downton Abbey?
Yes.
I don't think I don't think everything's cool on the set over there.
Oh.
I love Downtown Abbey.
Yeah. Is that how you pronounce it?
That's my favorite.
What channel is that on, Chris?
Yeah.
CBS.
All right. So a wildly popular show with people like Brooke. And with my wife, who watches it.
Men like it, too, though. It's not just a woman thing.
Well, when I sit down and watch it, I do get sucked into it, and it's fun. And my wife's always liked the English period pieces.
Yes.
And a lot of them happen to have Keira Knightley in it. In fact, I'm surprised Keira Knightley doesn't have a part in Downton Abbey. Am I right? Shouldn't she be in there somewhere? But she's not. In fact, the antithesis of Keira Knightley, Maggie Smith, is in the thing, and she plays the Dowager Countess, and that means that she's been rich all her life, and her husband died, and she has all the money that he left behind, and isn't that how that works when you're the Dowager Countess, and then so now you're in charge of like a whole domain of money and property, and you don't lift a finger, you don't have any hobbies, you do nothing other than just live the life of the aristocracy. In the turn of the 20th century, and
indeed,
as things move along, you're going to be outdated by what's happening in other parts of the world, specifically in America in the 40s, 50s, and 60s, as American women and the aristocracy here, which is a completely different thing, don't adhere to the old rules that set the aristocracy apart from the rest of the people, which they tend to continue to follow there on the program Downton Abbey in this castle where they live with all their servants, right?
It's so much fun.
Yeah. So anyway, Maggie plays this just deliciously cynical and tongue-lashing older lady on the program, mm-hmm. and she's so much fun to watch. Now, here's the thing. She thinks the upcoming sixth season of Downton Abbey will be the last season, that they're going to finish the whole deal.
Why?
Because, and it makes sense, I think that whole aristocracy in England thing is going to become extinct. in the storyline.
Has anybody told Queen Elizabeth this?
Well, there's that. I mean, she still gets to hang out, but the rest of the people, I mean, it becomes a different deal. All the people living in the castles with the property and all that, then they have to sell their properties and their castles to rock stars in the 60s. Isn't that true? I mean, the guys from Led Zeppelin buy up a bunch of castles, and the guys from Deep Purple and all of them, they're all buying castles.
Really?
In the 60s, yeah. And all the aristocracy, they move out because they have no means of...
Well, that could be a good show, too.
No means of making money anymore.
Well, right now we're only in 1924, so we've got some time. So why
Do
is
you?
She thinking only one more season?
Oh, so they got through World War One. They
yes.
haven't gotten to World War Two yet.
No, they're still in the heyday.
Oh.
We're talking jazz.
Yeah.
Roaring 20s.
Roaring 20s, yeah. But mostly yeah. that's an American thing. And so,
well, they have the jazz there. It's very... It's,
interesting.
It's a big deal.
So anyway, she thinks this is going to be the last season. And and if it isn't, the show's going to have to do away with her character, Violet Crowley, because she's leaving. That's what she says.
Oh.
Now, is this just a ploy for her to get more money?
Hopefully.
She says...
And you say pay her.
Quote,
pay the woman.
They say, this is the last one. I can't see how it could go on. I mean, my character certainly can't keep going. To my knowledge, I must be 110 by now.
She's probably right.
We're into the late 1920s, and Maggie is, by the way, Maggie Smith is 80 in real life. The fifth season just finished airing in the U.S. on Sunday. The sixth season was ordered last fall and will begin filming in the coming months. And for the record, the show's creator says he doesn't know when the show will end.
I don't think they've known... Well, I had learned when this when the show started that traditionally in England, their shows are only ever like two or three seasons max. Like
yeah.
they don't have the U.S. 10 seasons, 12 seasons.
But then you watch Fawlty Towers for 10 years and they only have three seasons worth of it, right? They keep showing all over and over again. Now, maybe Maggie Smith is onto something and perhaps she's been contacted by the people who make the wildly popular movie Sharknado. Maybe she's going to be in Sharknado 3.
Oh, she's wheeling and dealing.
Because a lot of people are signing on now. They're saying, hey, I want some of that Sharknado action. Guys like Mark Cuban, who doesn't need an extra buck. You know who he is,
mm-hmm.
right? Okay. Conservative commentator Ann Coulter is going to be in Sharknado.
Wonder if really? She'll get eaten by a shark.
It's possible. So. Let's see, who
Great.
Else? Other stars. by the way, Ann Coulter is going to join the cast. It's set in Washington, D.C. Mark is playing the president, and Ann will be the vice president.
Of the United States.
Of the United States.
Wow. Interesting.
During the Sharknado attack. Other guests include Bo Derek. Remember her? From 10?
Sure.
The only movie Great. She's ever made. Isn't that right?
Probably. I think so.
Yeah.
She's then, a 10, right?
Right.
Bo Derek?
And running around on the beach with
the
those
braids.
With those braids.
Yeah,
I think she got neck
remember.
Issues and had to get surgery, and she hasn't, yeah, hasn't worked. Tara Reid, speaking of surgery, is also, she's...
coming back. She's been in all of them.
Yeah, she'll be back, but Bo Derek will play her mom. And Jerry Springer... will be in the cast. He plays a crazy tourist.
Have you two seen these movies?
I've Sharknado? Seen. I've only seen clips, and the clips seem to be enough for me.
Yeah, I'm on the same boat. I have not seen them. I've only seen clips. But like Phil said, wildly popular, so I'm fascinated.
Yeah, another guy who was wildly popular in his heyday, Chris Kirkpatrick. He was in the band NSYNC. Were you an NSYNC fan? Did
no,
you have the posters on your walls?
No.
Yeah, okay. He's going to play a pool lifeguard.
Right.
And wrestler Chris Jericho. Will be a
cool.
He'll be a carny, a roller coaster operator.
Yeah, and they're all going to just get eaten by giant
Man,
great
you're
whites.
You're in a roller and coaster
hits.
And a Sharknado comes? That's the worst
yeah,
possible
right.
place you could be. By the way, Sci-Fi is going to premiere Sharknado 3 sometime in July. Nobody will be watching Downton Abbey in July when Sharknado hits.
They won't.
Yeah. All right. So, Chris, remember Monica? Monica Lewinsky.
Sure.
She keeps popping back into the news.
Mm-hmm.
And if people want to hear what she has to say. Isn't that right?
There's a select group of people that want to hear what she has to say. And she is coming back into the public in a big way. And next it'll be for a TED Talk in Lake March. Are you guys familiar with TED Talks?
Love wow. them.
Yeah.
Love them. The TED Radio Hour.
Yeah. Usually awesome. Technology stuff, isn't it?
All kinds of stuff,
yeah,
really.
Yeah.
Technology's just scraping the surface of some of the subjects they've
Technology,
covered on that show.
Technology, entertainment,
but,
yeah.
and design.
And whatever Monica wants to talk about.
Oh, there you go. That's what it stands
mm-hmm.
for.
What's her topic?
Figured that out. Monica Lewinsky is going to be talking about a safer and more compassionate social media environment, which
Aww.
In light of what's going on nowadays... probably a good subject worth talking about.
Yeah. Well, I mean, does society collectively decide that they want that kind of an environment, or is Monica going to rally for some kind of government regulation of our activity on the internet?
I think some kind of government regulation is almost inevitable at this point at a minor level, but I don't know what her stance is. I do know that she has found her niche as an activist against cyberbullying is what she's going to be discovering and or be discussing, and she has plenty of experience with being bullied, cyber and or not. Mm-hmm. And she says sharing her story might help others in their darkest moments of humiliation. Having survived, all I want to do now is help others survive.
All right. Something else she has experience in, humiliation, right?
Exactly right.
Yep.
All right. Public humiliation.
Seriously.
Which is what cyberbullying or some of this stuff that happens on social media sort of is, because the entire public has access to it. It is public humiliation.
Mm-hmm. Yep. All right. Okay. She didn't bring any of that on herself, did she? But just the same. That doesn't make me a bully for saying that.
20 years having lived with that.
By the way, the artist who painted Bill Clinton's official portrait says he left a hidden reference to Monica Lewinsky in the painting. There's a shadow on the wall in the shape of a dress. He says the Clintons know about it and want the painting removed from the National Portrait Gallery.
Yeah.
They didn't know about it originally, but now they do.
How much do you think you'd get for that on eBay?
Yeah. I don't know. All right, here we go. Now I'm lost. What do we have next? Oh, I know. It's that time of the year when the cruise lines do something special with their ships. And if you're paying attention and your timing is right, you could get in on some extraordinary savings on a nice long cruise vacation. Our travel guy reveals what this secret is next on Phil Hewlett and Friends. All right, we're back. It's Phil Hewlett and Friends. Thank you for tuning in. So, have you been on a cruise? How many of you, show of hands, you've been on a cruise? Yes, okay.
My hand is not up.
I went on the most awesome cruise ever.
Really?
Yes. So great.
Where'd you cruise to?
It left out of Miami, went down to the British Virgin Islands, and it was a music festival cruise. I was on a ship for a week with a bunch of amazing musicians. And it was just like,
wow.
It's like four concerts or four stages from morning to midnight. It was fantastic.
You sure our executive producer, Mike Stark, wasn't on that same ship?
Kayamo, baby.
No, he's thinking, and here comes the answer. No, he thinks maybe it was a different ship.
It's fantastic.
He goes on a lot of cruises, and
really?
A lot of times there's bands playing on those cruises. How about you, Chris? Have you done a cruise yet?
I have not. It All is right. on my bucket list. I will do it more than once.
Well, there may be some opportunity in the days ahead of us. Right now, if you pay attention to our travel guy, Gary Warner, who joins us live. Gary.
And you better pay attention to me.
Yes, exactly, because there's something special going on right now. What are the cruise lines doing? And they do it every year at this time. What is it?
Right. Just like the swans returning to Capistrano or whatever, there's these flocks of ocean liners that are heading all over the seven seas on what are called repositioning cruises. This is where the corporations look at where the business is at any given season, and they'll move the ships usually in the spring and the fall. We're just getting into the beginning of the season this week, actually, with a Holland America line, the Zuiderdam, that's going out of Fort Lauderdale and will
excuse
end up
me?
In Rome. The Zuiderdam.
Oh.
Zuiderdam.
Yeah, all right.
You know, it goes through until about May. And there's all sorts of choices. I mean, you can do, the transatlantic. You can go from Vancouver to Hawaii. You can go if you just want to say, for example, you just wanted to check out Disney Cruise Lines. They have a repositioning cruise that goes from, let me see here. It's Vancouver to San Diego. Actually, San Diego to Vancouver. And that's because they basically bring in the ship up for the beginning of the Alaska cruise season, which is very popular.
Yeah, well, that's good. And typically, the Disney Cruise Line costs you a couple extra bucks because, hey, it's Disney, and people have an affinity for Disney stuff, and so they're willing to pay a little extra. Isn't that right? Where'd he go?
I'm there.
Oh, here you are.
Okay, right there you go.
I thought you were chasing Mickey.
I was off at sea or something like that. Yeah.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. All right, just the same. So so what are the ships doing? Are they coming over through the Atlantic? Or are they moving up from Alaska down to San Diego? Where are they going?
Yeah, basically it's a seasonal thing that they're going from Mexico, and when it gets hot in Mexico, the cruises don't do so well, so they move the ships up to Alaska. Alaska is a big market for everybody. And then a lot of the ships go from the Caribbean, which is sort of a year-round destination in a lot of ways, and some of those will split off and go to the Mediterranean, which is more of a sort of a spring through fall thing. And what's interesting, really, is that I don't think a lot of people understand that there's been a lot of consolidation in the industry. So, you know, you have Carnival Cruise Lines, you have P&O, you have Holland America, you have Princess, you have Seabourn, you have Cunard. They're all owned by one company, and that's the Carnival Cruise Corporation.
Wow.
So they sit there with their big charts, and they kind of move things around and figure out what's going on and where they're going to put their ships. The other ones, of course, are the Royal Caribbean and Norwegian.
Okay, so that's Carnival's competition, those two
right.
companies. Okay.
Right. And so it's what you get here is basically sort of a moving van type experience to a degree, and it depends on what you want out of a cruise. If you like to be at sea and you want to have a book and relax, these are great. If you're looking for the traditional cruises with a lot of entertainment and a lot of different food choices and things like that, often you won't get that because what they do is essentially they go, they have I wouldn't say a skeleton crew, but not all the crew makes the transition to the new port. They'll pick up a new set of stewards and things like that. When they get over to the Mediterranean, for example.
But still, it doesn't affect the kind of dinner you're going to eat at mealtime.
Well,
right?
It does. I've done a couple of these, and I actually really enjoy them. I'm an open seas cruiser. I like to be out on the open sea. I like the transatlantic crossing with the Queen Mary II, which is probably my favorite thing. But there is sort of a ratcheting back. But with that ratcheting back, sometimes it's 50, 60, 70% off the normal fare.
Wow.
Because there's just nobody on board these ships. These ships are huge, monstrous ships now. I mean, some of these, you know, these ships for Carnival and for Princess and for, you know, the Serenade of the Seas and things like this. These are monster ships. And people want to go on the cruises to go see, you know, like go to all the Caribbean ports.
Yeah.
Or bounce around.
Oh, I like to sit on the balcony and watch the flying fish. But this time of the year, though, am I going to see icebergs floating out there in the Atlantic?
Well, here's the thing is most of these ships are not built for the open seas. That's not
so
what they're built for.
Bring your Dramamine. Is that what you're saying?
Well, no. What they have a tendency to do here's an example is that back in 19 there's a thing called the Blue Ribbon, which is the Blue Ribbon.
It's
it goes
made by
to
Pabst. Is that one?
Yeah.
No, it's Pabst.
They could bring it back as a sponsorship thing. But no, it was awarded for many years to the fastest cruise liner that would go across the Atlantic back when that was the main way that people went. The record was set in 1952 by the SS United States, which is actually sitting in a dock in Philadelphia. You can go and see it. It hasn't been out to sea in 50 years. But it crossed in 3 days, 10 hours, and 40 minutes. That was her record. The Queen Mary II, which was built for these crossings, actually inspired by the spike in cruising that came after the Titanic movie, which is sort of one of the more oddball inspirations. Hey, all these people died on a boat or ship. I'm going to go on a ship.
It's human nature. It's like when they have a crash on a roller coaster, the ticket sales at theme parks go through the roof.
But Queen Mary II gets across in 6 to 7 days. They throttle it back a little bit because that's a cruise now. Going across the Atlantic is a cruise, and people want their money's worth. So twice the time it takes to the SS United States. Now, if you go on one of these repositioning cruises where these ships do not have the really sharp raked prow that is meant for open seas. They're a little tubby. They have a tendency to do what's called the southern route, which is that basically they'll head south well short of the icebergs and where it's a little bit softer going. But you're looking at 11 or 12 days to make that crossing.
Yeah. All right. So what's our window for saving money on this opportunity?
Basically, there's two windows. Right now, you should be buying them now. For the spring, and they basically run through about May, and then they kick back in again September to early November, going the opposite way. And like I said, you can do anything from these massive, 25-day repositioning cruises through the Panama Canal to like a 4-day repositioning on the Disney ships or on the Princess ships, which I did, where you go from Vancouver to San Francisco or Vancouver to Los Angeles, and it's really nice.
If I were going to spend $6,000 typically on an outside room, not a suite, but an outside room with a balcony.
Way to go. That's
all right.
The way to go.
$6,000 or so for two. Yeah. If I were to take advantage of this window of opportunity, are we talking what? $2,000?
I think that's a fair, right now. There's been some, wiggling around because of the oil prices.
Yeah.
But basically, as it gets farther, if the two times the book, as per normal, are far out. And right before, and basically right before these ships sail, if they're looking at the ship's 50% full, they still have to pay the people that are on there. They have to pay the captain or anything like that. And you'll see some really, really deep discounting.
Yeah.
So a good site to go to, one of my favorites, because they don't just kiss up to the industry, is cruisecritic.com.
Cruisecritic.com.
They'll give you a good outline of each ship what – the various levels of service are. Carnival has stratified its lines so that Cunard and Seabourn are up at the top, and then Carnival's down at the bottom.
Gotcha. All right, we're going to take a look at all of that, and we're going to have that link added to our links page, cruisecritic.com. And Gary Warner, we love cruising with you every week.
Yeah, man, bring your books, watch the movies, have a just kick back,
take a Maalox and down a pint of your favorite liquor.
You got it. The bars are always open. The bars and the casinos are always well staffed.
Yeah. Beautiful. Yeah. Love it.
Okay, guy.
Good tip. Thank you very much, Gary.
Nice talking with you, Phil.
Same here.
Talk to you next week.
All right, we will. And we're going to continue traveling, this time to Arizona. And it's confirmed. We're going to go to the spring training camps, which have opened up, and hear from our reporter live next on the program, Phil Hewlett and Friends.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot, available now at Walgreens.
Here's a great idea for your next outing, a cruise of the L.A. Harbor on a Spirit Cruises yacht. Whether you have a large party, a company outing, wedding reception, a reunion, or you need the perfect setting for a romantic evening, Spirit Cruises offers everything you need to relax and enjoy your time on the water. For a limited time, enjoy Sunday brunch at Portsacall Waterfront Dining right next door, and the first Spirit Cruises Harbor Cruise of the day is free. For more information, call 310-548-8080 or visit spiritmarine.com. All right, thanks for listening. It's Phil Hewlett and Friends. And do you smell it in the air? Do you smell the cleats? Do you smell the freshly cut lawn and the beer and the hot dogs and all the stuff that comes with baseball? Oh, love this time of the season. And the players are out, and they're working out the kinks of the off season. And they've got the camps in Florida. They've got the camps in Arizona and other places. And just a show ago or so here on Phil Hewlett and Friends, we had the great pleasure of having a guest co-host who also happens to be the reigning Ms. California, United States, and is also involved with Major League Baseball Network, MLB Network, in doing reports from Tempe, Arizona. And Ms. California, United States, Sandy Charles joins us live on the phone now, and she's in Tempe. I saw your feet on Facebook today.
Yes, I had to show off my leopard print shoes.
Yes, out in left center field at what stadium is that?
I'm actually at Talking Stick. It's in Scottsdale for the Diamondbacks. We were at the Diamondbacks camp today, so it's in Scottsdale.
Yeah, all right.
Down the street from Tempe.
Well, that's cool. So what's it like out there? Is it a bustle of activity, or are people more or less just kind of taking their time, and the players are stretching back at the hotel, or how does that work?
The players are out here bright and early, right at 7 in the morning. They start stretching and doing a little batting practice. The fans slowly roll in, probably around 1 or 2. They started lining up, and right now it is just getting packed. The line to leave. I'm leaving the stadium, and everyone's coming in.
Wow. All right. So is it a nice place? Is it built recently? Or be honest, is it a dump?
Oh, yeah. Talking Stick is so pretty. It's one of the newest camps and fields that they built. It's beautiful. It's tomorrow we're in Maryville, and that is where nobody wants to be in Maryville. It's just where you don't want to be. You're scared getting out of your car, and they need to redo the stadium, but this Talking Stick is beautiful.
Which is the one, and maybe you know this if you've done your homework, one of them, they're having a problem with varmints. In fact, they're having a trouble with scorpions. Is that the one, Marysville? Is that what it is?
No, that is Camelback Ranch. That is the White Sox and the Dodgers, and it's an infestation. The Dodgers PR guy was stung by a scorpion last week. It was in his jacket, of his jacket sleeve, and he put his arm in, and it stung him.
Oh, and what happens when you get stung by a scorpion? I mean, you're that's a career-ending injury, isn't it?
Oh, you know, today, actually, one of the Diamondbacks, coaches, his daughter was stung by a scorpion, and they had to rush her to the ER. She was convulsing, and she had foaming at the mouth, poor little thing. So they had to give her anti-venom and put her on fluid.
Wow. So what's the Arizona Tourist and Convention Bureau saying about all of this? Come to Arizona for spring training. We have scorpions.
Yeah, you know, I grew up my whole life here, and they never, they're a big deal, but you really don't see them. This is actually the most I've heard in the past year.
Yeah.
And that's, I mean, it's crazy. I don't know if it's the weather. It's been raining like crazy today. Everyone's wearing scarves. It's 65.
Can't play baseball in the rain. That's just silly.
No.
It's dangerous. But the folks who are rushing in as you're rushing out, are we talking about locals, vacationers, fantasy camp geeks? Who's coming in to watch the ball games?
It is all the winter birds. It is everyone fleeing from the north and from the snow. They all come here, and they come here for spring training, and they take over Scottsdale. It is everywhere you go, and they all are so proud, and it's a million Cubs fans. They all, like, they don their stuff,
yeah,
and they rock it all spring training. It's mainly tourists. During March, yeah.
Chris, you've been to Scottsdale a time or two, haven't you?
Yeah, I lived out there for a while. I graduated high school in Scottsdale. Some crazy awesome complexes they have out there, a lot of times like fields across the street from each other for different teams. But I'm curious, do these guys that come down to watch these spring training ball players, do they have to pay to get in, or is it like just, hey, find a seat and enjoy the game?
The ball players that used to play?
Yeah, no, the guys that are out there training and the people that come to watch them, do you have to pay to watch, or you can hang out, right?
You have to pay.
Oh,
yeah,
okay.
No, you have to pay. Most of the time people pay for the lawn seats, which is you hang out in the grass, it's maybe $7, they get a beer and a hot dog.
Break out the picnic basket.
Oh, now you're talking my language. How's the beer and how are the hot dogs?
Oh, it was smelling good today. Well, I mean, everyone was like, okay, let's just go eat.
Yeah, right. Well, see, you're off the clock now, right? So you can you grab a beer and a hot dog on the way out?
Yes, we can. We normally all go and have like a family dinner and kind of relax because we have such an early morning and then we film all day.
All right, careful. What's the matter with you? Careful talking about beer when you're the reigning Ms. California, United States,
exactly.
Right? What are you doing? Trying to jeopardize your crown. You got to be careful.
No, I don't like the beer for the calories, but all the guys like the beer.
Oh, good answer. All right, so tomorrow you're going to Scary Marysville. That's the Brewers. How long are you going to be out there covering things for MLB Network?
We do 17 days straight, so it's a different camp a day. So
okay.
It'll be 2 weeks kind of straight, a different camp every day, all day, all morning.
If you get attacked by a scorpion, will you call us and tell us about it?
I will, but fingers crossed, please, no.
Okay.
Yeah, call us after you recover from the anti-venom.
Yes.
And I love your camera, whatever it is you're using. I don't know if that's your iPhone or what, but your photos are always so beautiful. You must have an app on there that just does the right color saturation. The shot from your feet and left center field, just spectacular there at, what's it called, the Pimple Face Stadium?
Talking Stick.
Talking Stick Stadium in Scottsdale. Go see the Arabian Horses while you're out there, will you?
I will, of course, yes. Got to do something fun.
That's a must-see. All right, Sandy Charles, thanks for checking in.
Thank you, guys.
All right, we'll talk to you again sometime. All right, there she goes. That was fun. Get our little baseball fix. We didn't talk a lick about baseball, but who cares? All the guys that are playing, we have never heard of them. They're all trying to make the team. The stars don't come out until like 3-4 weeks from now, right?
Mm-hmm.
Isn't
that
right, Chris?
Oh, yeah. They're not making enough money yet to...
Yeah.
Oh, the talk of hot dogs and beer, though, that's just fun baseball stuff.
Yeah. Oh, and the weather out there is just fantastic right now.
Except it's raining. Now,
there's that.
But the stars are invisible. But you know what? There are advantages if you're a big star, a movie star, a Hollywood star, if you can be invisible sometimes, because those darn paparazzis.
It is.
A paparazzi is already plural.
They're
singular
all up in
paparazzo.
Your face.
They're in your face and in your business. But there's a new invention that, pay attention, Hollywood. Brooke has something to
Ta-da!
Tell you about.
Okay, so this sounds really cool to me. A DJ and musician by the name of Chris Holmes has invented wearable reflector clothing so that when somebody takes your picture, you basically turn invisible and all the picture reflects is the image of the scarf or the suit or the hoodie that you're wearing, and the person wearing this article of clothing is completely...
Looks like you're wearing a gold and white dress?
It looks like the Invisible Man.
Oh, really? Now,
yeah.
What does that look like? Do we have a picture on our website?
I believe we do.
Well, let me look. Oh, look at that. It gives off this bright effect, and it throws the contrast off for the camera.
Yeah.
Now, can the paparazzi, these are smart guys, can they throw on some kind of filter on their lens and get around it?
I don't know.
But then what we're going to do is we're going to create a fabric that will counteract that particular filter, and then they're going to create a filter for that fabric, and then we're going to come up with a new fabric, and eventually one of us will win.
A multi-billion dollar
industry. Then Kim Kardashian will start posting selfies with that fabric, so where she just looks like a negative.
Exactly.
And everybody will start doing selfies that way.
It is supposed to be really good for photo bombing.
This guy, Chris Holmes, is a genius. He's going to become a millionaire.
Absolutely. Well, he thought of this when he watched all of his friends get, you know, attacked by paparazzi and just fans trying to get selfies with him. And it's just, you know, poor guy. He just wants to see his friends.
So this is a relatively young guy. He's not by any chance a 1980s heavy metal guitarist with a drinking problem, is he?
I don't believe so, no.
All right. Just a cryptic reference there.
It's the same stuff, just by the way, that's made in stop signs, that reflecting material in stop signs and bicycle.
Yeah. Really?
The reflector bicycle pedals.
What happens if you take a picture of a stop sign? Do you see do you see Kim Kardashian? Just stop, Kim, please.
Just stop.
Wow. Hey, we love your comments. We have a website, philhewlettandfriends.com. Click the contact page and you'll see a form there that you can fill out. We're on Twitter at FAFShow, PHAF. Like Phil Hewlett and Friends, on Facebook.com/Phil Hewlett and Friends. Thanks to our executive producer, Mike Stark, our producer, Brooke Peterson, who's been in the studio for the entire show. Thank you, Brooke. Our production assistant is Nick Wright. Our theme song is composed and performed by Russ Monson. For Aaron Myers, for Brooke Peterson, and Chris Martin, I'm Phil Hewlett. Can't wait to talk with you next time right here on Phil Hewlett and Friends.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot. Available now at Walgreens.
I want to tell you about a spectacular dining experience. It's Ports of Call Waterfront Dining, award-winning service and cuisine with a view of the dynamic L.A. Harbor from every seat. Enjoy daily sunset specials, as well as the South Bay's best bottomless champagne brunch. The outdoor harborside patio is a perfect setting for happy hour every weekday from 3 to 8. Ports of Call Waterfront Dining. For reservations and directions, visit portsofcalldining.com or call 310-833-3553.